Oh, that's right. Good afternoon, everybody. I have Senator Floyd Nicholson sitting across from me this afternoon, and sure is a nice one. Hasn't been too hot, has it? But Floyd Nicholson, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great, Ann. Had a wonderful day. Got up, rode my bike this morning, dipped 4 or 5 miles, went home, worked in the yard. And then I say, hey, it's time to quit. Got to go and visit with fans.
That's so, right.
Great day. Doing fine, Ann.
Doing fine. So how is that yard of yours looking then?
Oh, it's doing okay. Got me a few tomato plants out there and a few tomatoes coming on. And I just enjoy being outside when I can. You know, it's therapy.
It is therapy. At least it's not as hot as last week.
No, I wouldn't do it last week. The last 2 weeks, you know, no. Right. I would water the plants late at night or either early in the morning.
Oh, that's right.
Quit.
Yeah, I thought that was very unusual.
That's right.
Weather. But Floyd, I wanted to have you come in and just talk about, we're going to talk about some of the Governor Haley and the vetoes and where all that's headed. How you think the session of the Senate was. We're going to talk about the flag. We're going to talk about Charleston. We've got a lot to talk about this afternoon. And, you know, I wanted to start out by just saying, and I know it's been said over and over, but weren't you so impressed with how Charleston handled itself after the massacre?
Yes, I was very impressed the way the citizens handled it, and especially those families. You know, when they came out in a situation like that and said, we forgive you, you know, that's what the Bible says, but it's hard to say it. But for those families to come out and say, we forgive you, I think that's had an impact on the way that people reacted down there. You know, everybody was just so forgiving and just, you know, so showed so much remorse and, you know, concern. And I was just very proud, you know, the way we handled things, not like some of the other areas that had tragedy happen, you know.
Sure.
So I was just proud to say I'm a South Carolinian.
I know. It was great days in South Carolina for the world to focus on how they handled themselves and the whole thing, the chain that went across the bridge. I mean, all these things that happened. And I know it was so, so tough. And with Senator Pinckney, that had to be tough there in the Senate for everybody.
Yes, it was, you know, because I just talked to Senator Pinckney that Wednesday morning when we were in Columbia. See, he had ties to Greenwood because he had a niece that was at Lander for 1 year, and he was just like a father to her. I remember when he told me she was coming up, I met him and his wife and kids, brought her up, took a tour of Lander, and he told me she was coming, you know, and he would come up to check on her. We would do lunch, and I told him then, I say, we are her family away from home. Anything she needs, you just let us know, you know, me and my wife and everything. And, you know, he was just a wonderful person, you know. Served great in the Senate. He was a great family man, community man. And he was really concerned about those, the least fortunate one, doing whatever he could to help those. He was just a dedicated man of God.
He was. But, you know, one of the things that I was surprised reading about him was how early he got into politics. I mean, phenomenal. What
That's
was
right.
he, 23 or
23
something?
23 years old. He started preaching at 13.
13?
Yes, he started preaching at 13. He was a pastor of a church when he was 18 years old, you know, and got into politics 23 and devoted and just, you know, the compassion that he had, you know, you could just see it beaming from him, you know, and everything. And every time I would see him, you know, I said, well, I saw your niece. Well, thank you for everything you do. He was so appreciative of things that you did for him and everything, you know. And I know back in March, my wife had a meeting down in Charleston. I went down there and I said, Senator Pinckney, I'm going to be down there. And he said, come over to my church. So I went over to the church. He gave me a tour of the beautiful church there. We stayed about an hour just talking. I saw several of the members, how they loved him, and just, you know, was just so dedicated to him and how he was dedicated to them and everything. And the church was just beautiful, you know. We went outside. He showed me where they were constructing an elevator. And there were a group of students out there looking at the architect of the church, you know, a class. And he went out there and saw me and said, oh, let's go inside. So he kept the students inside so they could see the inside of the church and everything. You know, just a wonderful person.
Yeah.
Just a wonderful person.
It's just It had to been hard in the Senate those next days after this happened, because you all were just finishing up on budget issues and everything.
It was. You know, we went in. That happened that Wednesday night. We went in that Thursday morning. They had the black sheet over his seat and everything. We did the memorial. We didn't do much. We just had to do things with the budget. And it was just hard being in there then and hearing the remarks people made, you know, about him and everything. So it was just a very touching situation. Yeah. Very touching.
I know that he is going to be remembered for a very long time. Mm-hmm. I think they have even, haven't they, decided to have his portrait?
Yes, there's been a resolution introduced to hang his portrait in the chamber, you know, because, you know, I think that's the first time a senator has died while we were in session.
Really?
I think so. I think some of while we were in session, you know, some have died while we're out of session. But sure. I think someone was saying that. I'm not sure, but I think it might have been the first time.
Wow, mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Well, that has been tragic. But as I said, I think it's great the way things have moved on and started the healing process that mm-hmm. is so necessary. I think it was amazing that they actually opened the church up. What was it, a week later?
Mm-hmm.
And carried on.
And that's the thing about it. That's what he would have wanted to go on, because, you know, they had service that Sunday, the mm-hmm. next Sunday, they had cleaned everything up, and they continued on with the service and everything, you know. And, you know, just continue on with life. Try to get back in the swing of things, you know, as much as possible and everything. And I think that's what they've done, you know, down there. I think they only have one service, Reverend Simmons. His service is going to be tomorrow in Columbia. They had a memorial for him yesterday down there at the church in Charleston, but he's the last one to be funeralized, and it'll be tomorrow in Columbia.
Yeah, so, but, you know, as we move forward from all of that, then, of course, Governor Haley introduced the Confederate flag taken down on the state grounds, and I know a lot of people are saying, yes, it needs to come down. We had the gal that climbed up the flagpole and took it down. I mean, you know, you got to give her, you know, for having the muscle strength to be able to climb up the flagpole and take it down.
Yes.
I uh-huh. mean, you know. And then, of course, it was put back up. But as it's moved through this, and I know going back, y'all are going back July 6th, which is next Monday, correct?
Right, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, where do you think this is all going to shake out? You know, one of the concerns is that if the flag is removed, and there is talk that there is enough votes to do this, but if the flag is removed, how or will it affect the Heritage Act, which says that other statues, memorials, monuments, etc., cannot be touched?
Well, I think in the bill that was introduced, it just specifically says the flag on the State House ground. Nothing else is to be incorporated in it. But I know there will probably be individuals who want to bring up those things, you know, to get the debate stirred and everything. But I think we just need to focus on one thing, removal of the Confederate flag out the State House ground. Nothing else dealing with the Heritage Act or anything. Although there might be some individuals who want to try to attach things, you know, to the Heritage Act. But I think the main concern should be just on the flag, because if the other thing, it won't go anywhere.
So you're saying that if this is just the flag, which is what it is intended to be, mm-hmm. then there should be no problem with the rest of the Heritage Act, then it would stay intact, even though the flag was part of the negotiation mm-hmm. for establishing the Heritage Act.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think just with the flag and nothing else to do with the Heritage Act.
Okay.
Just that one thing, the flag removed from the grounds of the state.
Now, have you talked to other people about their feeling about some of the other representatives and I'm sure the members of the Senate?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you feel is kind of the feeling?
I think in the feeling, the majority, but there are some who've you know, already said they were opposed to adding that item to the sign and die and everything, you know. So there are some individuals in the Senate who's opposed to removal of the flag, you know. But I think the majority, you know, feel that it should be removed and everything. And the thing about it, I respect everybody's opinion. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion, you know. So, you know, it just come down to how we vote.
You know, Floyd, one of the things I would be curious to know, do you really think that removal of a flag, a Confederate flag, is going to heal it? Is that really going to change things?
You know, what's going to change things is when people change in their heart the hatred they have for other people, you know, cultures or races and everything. The only thing going to change that is when they change in their heart and say, I'm going to accept that person for who they are. We're all different. We all have different cultures. When it comes down to accepting all cultures and realize that let's work on the things we have in common, mm-hmm. instead of how much we are different and everything, and see that really we're all the same. So that's really what's going to change. When people change in their heart, you know, the way they feel about other individuals and everything. Now, I think that symbol, you know, you have several symbols, sure. that influence people and everything. But I just think symbols that divide people don't need to be, you know, out so publicly displayed on public grounds and everything. Anything that divides us and everything. And, you know, I think people say, oh, that's our heritage. Whose heritage?
Okay.
Everybody have heritage.
Right.
So it's not my heritage.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people say, yeah, that's my heritage. I agree, that's your heritage. But what about other people's heritage? You know.
Well, as a South Carolinian, is it heritage? I mean, not as an individual. As a South Carolinian, is it a heritage of South Carolina?
Not the one that I'm proud of.
Okay. I agree. Okay. But I just, you know, it's a touchy subject. You know,
it
fortunately,
is.
You and I can sit down and talk about this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of people, you know, I think when you think of the South, I think all areas of our country have parts that they played and that they were proud of. And then, of course, there's parts that we're not proud of. And mm-hmm. I think all parts of our country have that.
Right. I agree totally. You know, when you think about heritage, why do so many hate groups have the Confederate flag? Why is the group out of North Carolina, KKK, coming down to demonstrate the removal of the flag? The ones that oppress the blacks and everything, why are they so vehemently coming out, you know, in support of the flag? And see, those are the things that really, you know, when I think about it, you know, are those the people that really suppressed my forefathers and everything, the things they did then, you know? Those groups, and I can say, you know, I listened on the news this morning, they're talking about the group out in North Carolina, KKK, and then you have the Sons of the Confederate, those fellows say, hey, we are not supporting those coming down there, and these are people, Sons of the Confederate, you know, and that's a different group,
yes.
you know, and they have different ideas and everything, but when you have these racist groups getting involved, you know, and the only thing they're talking about
the
flag.
That is the problem, the racist groups, because I always thought of the Confederate flag just as a symbol of the South,
mm-hmm.
not anything from a racist or from any of this type of thing, just the South,
mm-hmm.
you know, I never thought of it as this racially divided issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, if we really want to get down and study it, yes. But when you think of the South, you think of all these symbols that have to do just with the goodness of the South.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we should focus on, the things that have the goodness that incorporate all cultures. That's what we need to build on, not the things that divide us in everything.
Do you think it divides us today? Do you think it divides us today?
Yes, to a certain extent, yes.
To a certain extent?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because people still think about, oh, that's the way they treated us in the past.
Okay, you're saying black people think
yes.
that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm from the North, and I never really thought about it one way or the other. I just thought, oh, the Confederate flag, the South.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've had a colorful history here
yes.
in the South.
Oh, yes.
In the South.
Uh-huh. You think about
I mean, we seceded from the Union. I
mm-hmm.
mean, you know.
All the lynchings and everything, what do they have? Their Confederate flag. Hey, we're dominating. We don't want, yeah.
Yeah,
no.
Okay. Because, I mean, that's what I just really really thought about it as just a part of the South,
Southern history. Right.
Right. But, and, you know, in truth, can we do away with the history? What do we do by removing the flag? What really comes out of removing the flag?
I think, you know, on state capitol grounds, mm-hmm. we don't need any symbol that divides. And I think removing the flag will say, okay, maybe this is just one state. You got the United States flag and you got the state flag. You know, those are the flags that we have here forever. And I think those are the only flags we should be respecting here mm-hmm. in our state.
What about, I understand that down there at the Citadel,
mm-hmm.
excuse me, they fly the, well, I think they fly like 57 different flags in that chapel.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that there has been a motion to bring to, I guess, the House, the Senate, whatever, to see about removing it. The Board of Visitors, the board has voted on that. I think it was 8-3.
I think they removed the Confederate flag.
But actually, they didn't. See, that's the thing that is a misnomer. They are contacting the state mm-hmm. about removing it.
Okay. They have to go through the state since it's a state-supported institution and everything.
Exactly.
But they did vote in favor of removing it and everything.
Right.
But the
state asked if they could remove it.
Right,
I guess that's the real...
Because I know... A board member, Myers, I think, was pushing very hard for that, you know, and I know they did vote to do it and everything.
Right. Mm-hmm. But they haven't removed it. So I guess, that would be another question. If you remove it from the State House grounds, then does that open it up? Okay, we want to remove it. What do you think?
I think that'll be choices groups will have to make. You know, who are responsible for those various things and everything. Because we're just responsible for one on the State House ground. If there are other flags, you know, the governing body for those, it'll be up to them to decide what they want to do.
Ah, so then does that change the Heritage Act, since those were part of the Heritage Act?
I think it's according to what they want to do.
Well,
if they just address it, say, the Confederate flag,
mm-hmm.
then that might be a possibility if it doesn't include anything else. It depends upon how they address what they want to do.
Okay. So I guess what you're telling me here today is that this issue should just be surrounded the Confederate flag.
Exactly.
It should not address monuments, statues, namings of things. It should not affect any of those.
Just, and the bill that was filed just addresses the removal of the Confederate flag from the State House ground.
Okay. All right. Well, that's clarification, because I know that's what a lot of people are thinking about.
Yes.
Now, what do you think about, Oklahoma, I think, just decided to remove the Ten Commandments from their State House grounds. And, you know, there really has been I want to say almost a landslide of people wanting to do things. In Tennessee, they're talking about removing the statue there, the Confederate statue in Memphis. And, you know, all these things are like popping up. It's like everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
What you think?
To each his own.
To each his own?
Yeah. And, you know, the sad thing about it,
mm-hmm. If
it's something that they thought was wrong, why it took a tragedy like this to open the eyes, say this is what we need to do?
I agree. Do you think there is some political opportunism going on right now, Floyd?
Well, yeah, politics involved in everything.
Politics equals opportunity, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, why not just do the right thing from the onset?
Well, you know, I guess that's a...
It's a different, you know, what do you consider right and wrong?
Right.
Everybody have different interpretations, you know, of what they consider right and wrong and everything, you know. So, you know, it's just like, you know, the tragedy right now, everybody's excited about the flag. The longer we wait, everybody get back in the same waves. I just think about when tragedies happen. I think about 9/11. They said the Sunday after 9/11 was the most church attended ever.
You're right.
Okay. About 6 or 7 months, they were back to the old ways. You know, you come together and then you drift back to your old ways. And that's been repeated over and over in history, you know, and everything. Why we can't remain united, you know, like we are when the tragedy happened, instead of being united for a little while, then just drift back to the old ways.
Well, I think that's human nature, don't you? I mean, the process of what people go through, they're grieving or whatever, and then they do go back to where. I mean, whether it's a personal or whether it's something huge, like mm-hmm. like a government, like a massacre or 9/11.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of time we need to go look at ourselves and say, what can I do to change?
We do. We do. Mm-hmm. Just look at how many people on alcohol or drugs. Mm-hmm. They know they have a problem. They get themselves in a crack, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm never going to do that again. I'm going to straighten up. And 6 months later,
like
what happens?
The same old way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And it's unfortunate.
It is. A lot of time, I think it is. You need to change the environment. You know, if you're around those same people, they're doing it, you're going to do it. If you can get away from them, it'll be a different thing.
You're right. Only that's a hard thing for people to see, doesn't it?
It is. It is. I've talked to a lot of people that have problems, you know, and said they moved away. I'm doing great. I don't have those same friends coming around trying to influence me to do things. I got other friends that are not doing those things now to influence me, you see, and everything. Like yeah. I said, peer pressure.
Yeah, there's a lot of peer pressure.
It is.
And there's a lot of political peer pressure, isn't
there? Oh, yeah.
There?
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of pressure.
Even more.
Even more, yeah. So, let's see. We've got just a minute here before we're going to get ready to hear the news. I think we have, is there anything else you'd like to say about the flag issue right now?
No, the only thing, you know, when we go back Monday, first we have to deal with the vetoes of the governor, and then after that, we'll get into the debate, you know, about the flag and see what happens and everything.
Do you think it'll be a long process?
It's hard to say right now because I think there'll be some debate, you know, individuals coming up, you know, and everything, and I think there'll be some amendments drafted to try to include other things, you know, and everything. Like I say, if that happens, it can be long and drawn out.
How much does it cost us for you guys to go back to work?
It's probably about $4 million.
I was afraid of that. You guys need to have this debate and get this done.
Now, the thing about it, were already going to have to go back anyway to deal with the vetoes
right.
and everything, you know. So hopefully this won't drag out. But it's not that expensive and everything.
Okay. All right. Those are the words according to Floyd Nicholson. Senator Floyd Nicholson, I might add. Hey, we'll be back after the news.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We are right back here with Senator Floyd Nicholson. You know, Floyd, I always enjoy having great conversation. You know, I love the back and forth and having conversation, talking about issues, because I think the issues are on everybody's mind. And I think it's good to get different opinions.
And I agree with you totally. And that's why I appreciate you so much for your show, how you get both sides' opinions, you know, you listen to both sides so you can get it out to the people for them to make their decision. And that's the way it should be. On any issue, there's always two sides.
Or maybe three.
That's right.
I mean, the Senate down there, you guys do a lot of debating.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But that's why, and you have to listen to both sides. And listen to people's idea and get their opinion. And then you make the choice, you know, of what's right. But it's always two sides to every story. Sometimes there's three, you know. So, you know, and you do a great job of bringing people in so that they can express their opinion, how they feel about issues, so they can convey that out to the people and let the people make the choice and let them make up their mind of the choice they want to make and everything. And that's the way it always is. If you just bring in one, it's just going to be one-sided.
Well, I think, you know, sometimes we don't think about the other side. We know where we want to be,
mm-hmm.
and we don't listen to other sides. And isn't that where, let's take Baltimore, let's take Ferguson, let's take all these different places. Because there was no conversation, everything dissolved.
And that's the key, conversation, communication. You have to be able to communicate, you know. And one of the biggest parts of communicating is listening.
Yes.
Listening.
And a lot of people don't listen
anymore. No. If they can't talk, they zoom you out.
Yeah, you know, one of the things they say about conversation is that people, when they're listening to a conversation, they're already thinking about what they want to say, so they're not even hearing you when you're talking.
Exactly, that's right. You know, and that's why I think, what did God give us, 2 ears?
Yeah.
And one mouth?
Yeah.
So I think you should listen twice as much as you talk.
You should.
Yeah,
or what's that? There is a saying about talking out of both sides of your mouth.
Yeah, that's exactly.
There's another good one right there.
It is. But you know, I think that's great. You have to be able to communicate, and that's what you're a very effective communicator in getting the words out. And it's about on both sides and the third side also. And you do an excellent job, and that's why I commend your radio show, getting the word out to the people.
Well, thank
all
you very much.
All they got to do is tune in.
That's right. Or they can always hear the podcasts or see the videos. You're right. But let's move on, unless you have something else on the flag or anything.
No. Okay,
I think we're good.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk a little bit about Governor Haley and the budget. She was kind of saying there was pork. We got earmarks in the budget. What do you think?
Well, I passed by the Greenwood Packing today, and I saw a load of hogs going in over there. So I don't think it's pork is down in Columbia. It's all being processed over the packing plant, especially with the Festival of Discovery coming up next week. They're bringing more hogs in.
Carolina Pride. We got it right here in Greenwood.
Right. So the pork is not in Columbia. It's at Carolina Pride.
And how about barbecue right up there in Barbecue, the Topiary right there in Uptown Greenwood?
Oh, yes, and I'll be right there with it, though. But really, you know, I think there's some great projects in this budget and everything that could be funded and everything. You know, I think she just had a different idea on it. So we'll go back down on Monday, hopefully, and see what the House is going to do, how many they are going to override, and how many they will sustain, you know, because if they override it, then it comes to the Senate. But if they sustain her veto, well, that's it.
So you don't even get a say if the House goes along with it.
Yes, we don't get a say in everything, you know. So hopefully there are some, I think, important projects in there that we can override, you know, that will help the state and everything. I know she talked about the money for roads and everything. That's a Band-Aid.
It is. I don't think it was effective.
No, it's a Band-Aid. It said come back to the counties. But what about our interstates and everything? I know I was listening on the news a few weeks ago, and they were talking about the problem up in Greenville there at Woodruff Road. Mm-hmm. And the money they're talking about to take to fix that. If you think about these interchanges and everything, you know, it takes millions of dollars to fix those interchanges.
We're
not
close to that.
No, we're not close to it and everything, you know. And then, you know, you take $70 million and give to Volvo down there for road, you know, for them and everything. But still, that's a Band-Aid. And I think we need to do something that's going to be ongoing, you know, recurring.
I don't think we can keep kicking this down the road. And the problem is this, I really think, in all the legislators that I talked to, is this was the year to do something, because guess what, folks? Next year is an election year.
Oh, you know nothing's going to be.
That's right.
That's right. You know, so this was the year to put something in, but didn't want to go along with it and everything, you know, say, oh, we got about $300 some million. That's a Band-Aid, you know. And then when you divide it up to the various counties, it's not going to be that much.
No.
You know, it's good, you know, to fix a few potholes, but when you even think about resurfacing the road, that gets into being very expensive and everything. So we got to look at putting something in there, some money, to really address the needs of our states.
Well, I think it needs a plan that is not just for this year. It's for this year and next year and the year after.
Down the road, you know, reoccurring in the budget every year, money.
Right.
Not just coming in and say, well, we're going to come up with a few more million this year, you know, and everything. You don't know what you're going to have next year and everything. So we really need to address a plan. This was the year to do it, you know.
The other thing is, I think that there's been a lot of conversation about how the Department of Transportation is run.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think that was really addressed either, was it?
No, it wasn't. You know, there have been some issues there, the way the department runs. So really, we just came out, giving a little money, and that's it.
Well, I think it's a shame because, you know, one of the things that I have heard, and I don't remember who told me this, that Governor Haley is a great cheerleader for business, getting businesses in here. But if she doesn't get our infrastructure and the bridges, the roads, and all the things that go with it, then it's going to be a problem in keeping them here.
I agree totally, you know, because, you know, when companies are looking to relocate or come here, they look at the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And the infrastructure is very important, you know, especially our roads and bridges, because most of the raw materials and the finished products are transported to Charleston, to the port, by trucks.
Right.
You know, over the road. So if you don't have good infrastructure in place, they're not going to look. Why should I invest billions of dollars in that economy when they don't care about their infrastructure, you know?
Not only that, they just have moved the goalpost, shall we say, down a little closer to the end goal on the port.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so that port is getting very much closer to getting to that point of being dredged for deeper, which
yes.
means we'll have more deep water boats coming in.
Larger cargo vessels coming in, you know, much larger coming in and everything. And another thing, you know, you don't worry about just getting them here. You have to do what you're in to keep them here.
Correct.
You know,
and we spend a lot of money getting them here.
That's right. But
I mean, a lot of advantages are given to companies to come here.
Oh, yeah, yes.
And they have to, mm-hmm. I understand.
And I think we should, you know, need to start thinking also about what we need to do to keep them here, to keep the ones we have here, keep them, you know, functioning. You know, we hear all the thing about the ones coming in. You don't hear anything about the ones closing down, do you?
No, and there are some that have closed down.
Oh, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. There are some that are closed down. They're relocating other places. So it's good to work on getting them here, but we have to make sure that we sustain them here, that we keep them here, you know. Don't just get them here and forget about them and everything, you know. Maintain the infrastructure and see what their needs are. Make sure that we can keep them here operating.
Absolutely. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. I'm here with Senator Floyd Nicholson. If you got a question or a comment, pick up that phone, call 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
All right, and we are right back here. And yes, I'm Ann Eller. Yes, I'm here with Senator Floyd Nicholson. We've just been talking about some of the issues on the budget. And one of the ones, Floyd, that I would be interested to talk about was the governor said, number one, we didn't need another study on employee
compensation,
that we didn't need a study on that. And also that there was an $800 bonus put in for this year. What do you feel about this? And what do you think? Is this was this the right thing to do, since, again, this was a non-election year?
I think there has not been a study done on employee compensation in years.
I think I read 1995.
Yeah, and you'll be amazed at some of the salaries some of those state employees make, you know, and everything. And I think it's long overdue that we look at the salary of state employees and do a comprehensive study and compare it to what other states are doing, you know, so we can see how far we are behind, really how we stand up. Also, the $800, we should have had a raise for the state employees, you know, a bonus, a one-time thing, don't cost as much and everything. But I think, you know, state employees do a great job.
You know, do you think we have too many, though, just out of curiosity? I mean, you know, state government is just one of those things that keeps growing and growing, whether it's the state government or the federal government. What do you think, Floyd?
I really can't say. I tell you what, there might be some departments that have too many, and there might be some departments that don't have enough.
Right.
You know, so really, I can't say on that, you know, because I've not really found out, you know, what's top heavy and what's not heavy enough. But I know we have some that might have some too many, and there are other areas that don't have enough and everything, you know. So it's one of those questions hard to say.
You know, one of the things that I remember when Curtis Loftus, the state treasurer, came in, he audited his department top to bottom,
mm-hmm.
and really found out some how they were running, what they were doing, how he could make some changes. It really seems like every department down there needs to audit themselves and make some decisions. And, you know, things that were set up 20 years ago versus what we're dealing with today and the technology and everything is totally different.
I agree totally. And that's why I probably need to have a study done, you know, and have the different departments look. Because, you know, with the technology and everything now, things you used to do manually, you don't do it anymore.
Right.
If there are ways, positions that can be eliminated, you know, that's fine, you know, with the technology. As long as we get to train people to know how to operate the technology and do things properly and everything. So that's why I think we need the overall departments look at each one and come up with plans, you know, of how they can operate that department the most effective way, you know, to serve the people, you know, and recommendation for if you need to increase people, look at it. If you can decrease people, look at it. I think departments need, and I agree, you know, Curtis did a great job and he's doing a great job and everything, you know.
So education-wise, though, how did you feel where the budget felt on that? I know that just here in Greenwood, one of the vetoes that is out there is $50,000 for healthy learners right here in Greenwood. I think that was only the one that specifically affected Greenwood was for healthy learners here in Greenwood. But on a whole, we can address healthy learners or not, but on a whole, how did you feel education-wise, and is the state really addressing the issue of what we need for workers going forward, since we're bringing so many manufacturing-type jobs? I understand that that's one of the key issues, is can we train our state to be ready for the companies coming in?
Okay, first I'm going to address the $50,000 healthy learners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the person with healthy learners approached me, and I had that put into the budget because that's an effective program going to the school and help underprivileged kids, you know, whatever they need, you know, to make sure that they have
everything. From eyeglasses to,
Everything, you know, to address. And so she vetoed that, but I hope the House will override that veto because I think it's needed. And also, now, when you think about education, it's important. I know years ago, I could say in the 90s, when I was in the school system, you know, the main focus then was how the kids take college preparatory courses.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you heard, college prep. You know, they were missing the boat. Everybody's not going to college.
Correct.
And so we need to have a curriculum for those kids that are not going to college who are going to the workforce. What curriculum can we have them to train them to get out of high school, maybe go to tech, get a certificate, and be trained for the high-tech jobs? And I think that's one of the main focuses right now. You need to focus for those kids who want to go to a four-year institution, but we need also really focus on those young people who want to go into the workforce because there are many great jobs with these companies coming in. I know Colgate-Palmolive, they'll be opening up real soon, you know.
ZF is constantly needing employees, and they can't find enough employees. That's my question. Is the state, are the technical schools, are they able to address these issues and get the money? I mean, it takes, well, you know, there's an old phrase, it takes money to make money.
Yeah, no, we're not, because, you know, this would also have been a great year to do the bond bill.
Oh, bond, that's a bad word.
Well,
according to Governor Haley, that's a bad word, bond.
Well, in the Senate, it was a good word, bond bill. Because
Y'all backed down because she said, no, we're not going to do that this year.
Well, we didn't back down.
You didn't?
Didn't have the support.
Okay. Well, you know, did that become a convenient way to not get on the hot seat because the governor said, I'm not going to put it through, so nobody stood up and said, hey, you know what, Governor Haley, we think it's a great time to do a bond issue.
Yeah, and with the tech schools and the four-year,
right. They
need improvement. If we're talking about improving education for our kids, you know, we cannot still be 10 or 12 years behind. There are things Piedmont Tech need out there, you know, to train people going in the workforce. I have a four-year institution. They need certain things, you know, to train people to be competitive when they come out and go into this global society that we live in, you know.
Exactly.
So we got to be able to invest. If we are serious about this thing of education, you got to invest in it. Just like you said, it take money to make money. You know, when you got dilapidated buildings about to cave in, kids are not going to go there. They say, I go out of state where I can get better education, better facilities and everything. Upgrading of the facilities, the technology and everything.
Well, don't you think that the teachers is a big issue too, though, teachers' pay?
Oh, I agree totally. I know teacher pay is a big issue. That's why a lot of people are not going into education.
That's why we kicked that down the road, didn't we?
That's right. You know, they complain about, you know, I worked in education a long time. I enjoyed every minute of it. But, you know, the pay was not that great.
Right.
But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. But we need to make sure that we can pay teachers well so that we can attract them into the teaching profession, you know, when they can go into other fields and make well, because, you know, money's not everything, but they got to survive.
Sure. And do you think, I know there was some money put aside and there were some advantages for those that became teachers and then stay in certain areas to pay back the state, shall we say, for their teaching. Do you think enough was done there?
No, I don't think so. Especially, you know, it's hard to get teachers to go to these rural areas.
Mm-hmm.
To go to the rural areas because, you know, to stay there's nothing to do, especially young people coming out, you know. You need a social life also, and they don't have it there. So we need some incentive to have those young people to go and work in those areas, you know, say 4 or 5 years, and then your loans will be paid off and everything.
Right.
But we got to have incentives for them to go there because it's tough in the rural area to get teachers to go there and everything. So I think we need to step up as a state. You know, it's great when you have an urban area that got a lot of interest and everything. They're putting a lot of taxes into the schools and everything. But in rural areas, when you don't have anything, I think it's dependent upon the state to put the money in there for those kids to come out and be competitive also. Because if they come out, if they go to a four-year institution, they're not going to sit up in the class and say, oh, you're from a rural area. You don't have to do as much as this kid from the urban. They're expected to have the same ability and be able to compete with those other kids. So it's important that they have the resources in those rural schools, good teachers, just like everywhere else.
And I think there was somewhat of an effort to make that.
Yes.
There was somewhat of an effort.
Yes.
But I think it's time that really South Carolina needs to push through and not do half issues. They need to do it all the way through so that we can have productive people in our state and have people that are making a good wage and want to stay in South Carolina. I know 95% of the people that I talk to, maybe a few young people who all think they want to leave, but most of the people want to stay right here in South Carolina.
Exactly. A lot of them, you know, my youngest son in Dillon School right now, you know, he said he would love to come back to Greenwood.
Yeah.
You know,
and of
so
course, Greenwood has made tremendous strides.
Yes.
from the late 80s, early 90s to
yeah.
where we are today.
Tremendous. I say very proud of Greenwood, you
Absolutely.
Know.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We're not there, but we're getting there.
Well, I think one of the things that they have done is investigated what it takes to keep young people or to bring young people into this area, and they are constantly trying to improve that.
And I think one of the main things is the social life. I think the chamber does a good job, you know, the under 40 group and everything, having fun. Because, you know, it's good. You got a good job, but you need some social life also, you know.
Maybe I should start a show on the social life of Greenwood.
Yeah, I'll come and speak. No.
But it is the total package that everybody, and that's
yes.
why areas like Greenville and Charleston,
oh, yes.
Columbia, they win out every time because it's the big city, sort
yes.
of.
Oh, yeah,
life.
The big
yes.
city, you know, they got things to do. They got Live After that 5. You go down the Riverwalk. They have activities going on, you know.
Sure.
And it's just ideal for the young people and everything. So, you know, that's why if we're going to attract professional people, we have to be well-rounded, you know, look at the social aspect and all aspects of it, you know, because That's what makes it.
That is. You know, you have been listening right here to WCRS. Floyd and I always have a great time when we sit down and talk. I certainly enjoy it. I hope you, the listener, has enjoyed it out there. And Floyd, I hope you've enjoyed it here this afternoon.
And you don't have to ask me that question. You know, I always enjoy coming over and having conversation with you because you make it so lively and everything. And we can discuss any issues. You know, I feel real comfortable discussing any issue with you because, you know, you're just getting my opinion, you're putting the cards out on the table, and all I got to do is play the cards. And I just commend you, Ann, for the great job that you do here, for keeping the people in the 1450 AM listening zone aware of the issues going on, not only in Greenwood, but in the state and in the nation.
Thank you very much, Floyd. I tell you what, is there anything else you'd like to say? How about a happy 4th of July? Everybody, you going to be out there seeing some fireworks, Floyd?
Yeah, me and Mamie just saying the kids are not coming in this weekend, so we're probably just going to sit around the house and go and watch fireworks Saturday night and just take it easy. I think might go out to
Lights Over the Lake.
Lights Over the Lake, and might go by 96.2 Saturday, make the rounds. But it's going to be great. And Ann, I hope you have a very wonderful 4th of July also.
Thank you very much, Floyd. That's going to do it for us. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.